Hebrews chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 this morning. While you find your place, let me just express my pastoral appreciation to those that practiced and prepared and brought a little bit of extra energy to the worship this morning. We appreciate that. It's not easy in a small church to keep the flow going when it comes to special music and things. A lot of work that goes into that, to be sure. But I appreciate those that come around us regularly, organ, piano, song leaders, and help us in the process of expressing ourselves in worship to God. It is a blessed thing to have those that are willing to do a little extra once in a while and point us in a good direction. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 will end the chapter, and we will be focused upon those last two verses to be sure. I'd like to take the occasion, however, to read the chapter of 14 verses, that you might be reminded of where we've been in this study thus far. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Unto which of the angels said God at any time, thou art my Son, this day I have begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels saith, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever a scepter of righteousness, is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they shall all wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. And they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he, God, at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? The answer is yes. Father, help us this morning as we come to the end of this dynamic presentation of the superiority and supremacy of Jesus Christ our Lord, to rejoice in the opportunity of the hour to answer the last two questions poised in the text, and to make sure that we as individuals are responding to you in the fullness of love and understanding concerning Jesus Christ our Lord. This we pray in Jesus' name and for his blessed sake. Amen. The answer is never. Ever. Never, ever. Verse 13, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool? Never. ever did God say anything like that to created angels. That's what he said to the uncreated God the Son. God the Son, uncreated yet made. That's Christmas. Uncreated God made. That's Christmas. The question of verse 14, the answer is yes. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Well, the answer to that is yes. As we come to the end of the first chapter in Hebrews and to the end of the contrast between the Creator, Jesus Christ, and the created class called angels, this extended contrast is developed for the purpose of demonstrating the superiority and the supremacy of Jesus Christ above all. The final contrast is summarized by the fact that the Lord Jesus is destined to rule and to reign, while angels are destined to serve his divine interest. The angels are his angels. Jesus is to be forever served, and his angels are now and forever serving. Jesus is the one served. The angels are the created ones serving. In our portion today, we see the destiny and eternal role of the Lord Jesus, verse 13, in contrast to the destiny and the earthly role of angels in verse 14. So, with your thinking caps in place, I ask you to reflect with me upon three elements of this final contrast between the Lord Jesus Christ and angels, adding up in our minds again and again and again, as we read and were reminded in this first chapter, to the truth of the supremacy of our Lord Jesus Christ. We begin with a reflection upon the declaration made to the Son. The declaration made to the Son. That declaration is, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The statement made by God the Father, exclusively to God the Eternal Son, is quoted in Hebrews 1:13, from Psalm 110, verse 1. Psalm 110, verse 1 is arguably the single most important Old Testament scripture from the New Testament scripture's perspective. Psalm 110, verse 1 is the most quoted Old Testament verse in the New Testament scriptures. The Lord Jesus quoted it while on earth to unbelieving scribes during the days of his first advent ministry. Peter quoted Psalm 110, verse 1, when preaching that first church sermon on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. In this book of Hebrews, Psalm 110 will be referenced a second time when presenting the truth of the high priestly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Isaiah is the most quoted Old Testament book in the New Testament, but Psalm 110, verse 1 is quoted more often than any other Old Testament verse, being cited 18 times. We cannot underscore too greatly the significance of this scripture, in which, as characterized in Hebrews 1:13, is the words of God the Father to God the Son, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The position and the place designated, right hand, of the Father, is, of course, that unique position of power. It is that unique position of pleasure. It is that unique position of praise. To be at the Father's right hand is to be in the position of power and authority. To be at the Father's right hand is in the position of pleasure. Psalm 16 says, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And at the right hand of the Father, the Son is forever in the position of pleasure. And of course, the right hand is a position of praise. We understand then that this phrase guarantees the final victory of the Lord Jesus over all opposition and any sense of enemy yet to be considered in the big picture of life and living. The idea of sitting was, of course, previously introduced. We read it again in verse 3 in reference to the accomplishment of the Lord at the cross, when the Lord had by himself purged our sins, then afterwards he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. But this reality of sitting down at the right hand takes a little different track at the end of the chapter, verse 18. As the Father says to the Son, sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. You look ahead to the resurfacing of these glorious truths. You have Christ as emphasized in the New Testament relative to his sacrifice. You have Christ referenced in the New Testament as to his sitting at the Father's right hand. And of course, then you have clear reference to the rule and the reign of Christ. And so the three S's of emphasis are sacrifice, sitting, and scepter. This will resurface again in Hebrews chapter 10. Take just a quick look at that. Hebrews chapter 10. And let me pick up in verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which never take away sins. But this man, speaking of the Lord Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice, dying on the cross for our sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. See sacrifice, see sitting. What's left? Scepter. Here's the pattern. Sacrifice comes to a moment of sitting. Sitting leads to the ultimate sense of scepter. He sits down on the right hand of God, 13, from henceforth, expecting till. Hebrews 1 says, until. Hebrews 10 says, till his enemies be made his footstool. That little timely word, till or until, is so important to understanding of the truth of Christ. Things are happening in order. Things are happening in sequence. Things are happening according to the heavenly plan. What was true is not what is true. What is true is not what's going to be true exactly. Although the truth of Christ remains perfectly the same. We are introduced at the end of Hebrews chapter 1 to this unique moment in the plan of God in which Jesus is finished with his earthly work, having finished it at the cross, Hebrews 1:3, having by himself purged our sins, sat down. And here you have the Father saying to the Son, sit down until I act to bring all enemies under your footstool. These are interesting words. Sit down. You have bad news to share with somebody, and you might say, you might want to sit down. You have good news to share with somebody, you might want to say, sit down. After watching mother lose her motherly dignity around the kitchen for Christmas dinner, you might want to say, Ma, sit down. Out of exhaustion, having fed everybody that attended. Here is God the Father saying to God the Son, sit down a while. Sit down a while until I do what I have always in eternity past decreed to do for you. Until I bring every opposition and every sense of enemy concerning you to beneath your feet. All things to be under the feet of the Lord Jesus. Or as Handel has us singing it, He shall reign forever and ever. The scepter, rule of Christ, is guaranteed. Not the world we live in, but it is the world to come. The earthly story of Christ sitting follows the earthly story of Christ in sacrifice. Sacrifice before sitting. Sitting before scepter. And that scepter, when once it comes, forever. The earthly story of Christ was first about suffering and then about glory. Peter stresses the earthly suffering of the Savior, saying, Christ also suffered, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Life of Christ, first advent, was about suffering and glory. The Christian life on earth is likewise about suffering and glory. These are not the days appointed unto our glory. These are the days appointed unto our suffering, unto glory. If you get that right in your mind, you'll find it more difficult to be discouraged in being faithful to the Lord, who has always been faithful to you. But the Lord Jesus, as to his story, as to the biblical career, if you will, was about suffering and now sitting until the moment of scepter. And that little tiny word till or until opens up that whole idea of the biblical time frames that have been ordained of God from before time began. St. Augustine said, divide the times and understand your Bible. It's so important when we read the scripture that we recognize the framework of time that God has established, a time work that is clearly indicated in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13. What time are we living in? We're living in the time when Christ is seated at the Father's right hand, waiting for that moment when all the enemies are brought under his feet. Those are the days in which you and I live. Hence the declaration, sit at my right hand till or until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Secondly, reflect with me on those deacon spirits. Deaconing spirits. Verse 14, are they, angels, not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? We are told you the answer is yes. Angels carry out diaconal service or ministry of serving under the command of Christ. They are not destined to be served, but to serve the interest of King Jesus. The word minister, found twice in verse 14, are not exactly the same word, minister. The first word describes angels in the terms of organization and arrangement, as seen in the Old Testament scriptures relative to the Aaronic priesthood serving in the tabernacle. The word minister, as first found there in reference to angels, is the same kind of a word that carries the idea of what the priests were doing in the Old Testament as it related to the work of God, as it related to the worship of God. But the second word, minister, is different, and it's very interesting to us because it describes angels in the terms of a New Testament church officer called deacon. Are they not all ministering spirits, like Old Testament priests in the tabernacle? Yep. Sent forth to deacon those who shall be heirs of salvation. Now, most of the pastors I know would delight to tell you that local church deacons are not angels. I'd delight to tell you that myself. It's the truth. They're not angels. Of course, neither is the pastor. You know that. Most of us understand that like angels, the role of a local church deacon is to serve the flock under the command of God's appointed shepherds. In the case of Christ, capital S shepherd. In the case of the pastor, the under shepherd. Angels and local church deacons are not to be known for the decisions they make. Angels in heaven are not decision makers. And neither are local church deacons when rightly functioning. Angels and local church deacons are not known for their decisions. They're known for their services rendered. The point of the passage is clear. Angels purposely serve Christ. Angels are the servants. Christ is the served by those servants. Because Christ is destined to reign, all the angels find their created destiny in serving. And of course, the logic then wraps back to the bigger, broader section that we've been studying now for weeks that has to do with the fact that Christ is being compared to the first class of created beings, namely angels, in order that we might come away with a fresh appreciation for the superiority and the supremacy of Jesus Christ. He is so much more than some created angel. Amen. He is the Lord our God. Amen. And so we are given then in verse 14 a very interesting insight as to the purpose of those heavenly spirits created by God to be on the top of the created order as to intelligence and capability on the top of the created order, and yet spirit beings without bodies. Nonetheless, those angels are for the purpose of heavenly deacons, heavenly service, heavenly ministers. And interestingly, They serve, ultimately, God, but they serve in serving God the same group of people our deacons do. The heavenly deacons ultimately serve the same group of people our deacons do, namely, the flock, those that are the heirs of salvation. Brings us to number three, reflect with me upon the delight of the saints. Angels serve God, the King, but to our delight, that service to God here and now is further specified. Angels are presently serving those who are the heirs of salvation. These are those of us that share in the victory of Christ by faith and live under the promise of the Lord's return in power and glory. It's with that kind of foundational understanding as to the lay of the land and the timing of God that Paul wrote to Timothy and said, if we suffer, and at times we surely do, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. So, in the upstairs bathroom at the parsonage, that's mine. The downstairs bathroom in the parsonage, that's Sherry's. The upstairs bathroom is mine. And so therefore, it's dirtier than the downstairs bathroom, and it is cleaned regularly. But basically, during the week, I get everything out, and then before Sunday, everything's put back together magically, and I don't know how. But I know how. But nonetheless, the bathroom upstairs, which is my bathroom, that bathroom has above the mirror a little tiny plaque, a little tiny piece of wood that's above the mirror that I look at every time I shave in the morning. And it is a common phrase, and it's easy to just take generically, and yeah, okay. But I'm serious about it. I'm really serious about it when I stand in the mirror and I look at that phrase, because that phrase says, quote, the best is yet to come. Amen. Forgive me for my frankness. But if this was it, I couldn't hang in here. I couldn't take it. I'd be crying that old song of the songstress from the 1960s. Is this all there is? Is this all there is? Then let's go dancing. Let's break out the beer and have a ball. If this is all there is. According to the Bible, for the people of the Lord, the best is yet to come. Amen. And if we do suffer with the Lord during the days of our earthly sojourn, as we read in the last hour, if need be, we suffer a little. And it seems like the need be a lot. Paul said to Timothy, we shall also reign with him. Amen. That's a glorious thing to have in your mind when the year ends and the new year is pressing upon us all. It's interesting to me because we're never told exactly how angels help us, but that they do. We are warned elsewhere in Scripture not to make angels a matter of our curiosity. Not to make angels a matter of our promotion. Paul said plainly, let no one beguile or defraud you of your reward. By taking delight in false humility, you know what that is, and worshiping of angels. You can give your mind over to angels in such a way that it just takes you off track entirely. And because the Bible really says little about what they specifically do, it's easy for your mind just to imagine things. The scripture Paul to the Colossians said, worshiping angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head who is Jesus Christ. The focus of our attention, the focus of our curiosity, the focus of our love, the focus of our worship is Jesus Christ. He's the supreme one. He's the superior one. Not angels. We don't spend our time talking about angels as a regular course of conversation, but we should spend our time talking about Jesus. Again, he is the supreme one. He's the preeminent one. He is our Lord and our God. Now, the passage is important theologically because of its practical implications. It reminds us that deacon angels do what they do in a manner after elected local church deacons do what they're supposed to do. They serve the purposes of God in the life of the saints. They do so under command of Christ the shepherd and his appointed under-shepherd. Since diaconal angels, number two, since their service is directed towards God, then we worship God, not angels. Since diaconal angels are serving spirits, we should not expect to know or seek to find out how God uses them among us. Every preacher I know has a few angel stories. I have a couple. I don't tell them very often, because the only truth of the matter is, I don't even know if what I'm telling is about angels. But I can't explain things in a certain case in any other way, and so I just leave it there. But I don't go too far in that, because the truth of the matter is, we don't know how God uses them all. Even we're told of Christ, when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, that God sent his angels to minister to him. What do? We don't know. What do they do for him? I don't know. We're not told. The invisible things are not revealed to us. The visible things are revealed to us and to our children, says Deuteronomy 29:29. One thing for sure, all the glory, all the laud, all the honor belongs to the Lord Jesus. Let me give you a more reminder before we wrap it up. Revelation 22, in conclusion, Revelation chapter 22. I'll begin reading at verse 6. And he said unto me, John speaking, he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servant the things which must shortly come to pass, or shortly must be done. God the Father sent his angel to the apostle John at Patmos to reveal this revelation of Jesus Christ. Summary of message. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the saying of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard them, or heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of the brethren, thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, command. Worship God. Don't worship the servants. Worship God. Whether you're talking about servants in heaven or servants on earth, whether you're talking about angelic servants or human servants. The message of the Bible is worship God. And so as we conclude Hebrews chapter 1 on this last Lord's Day morning of 2021, we simply say to you, as our little chorus encourages us, let's spend our time talking about Jesus. Let's not get off in the weeds. Let's not get off in things that do not matter. Let's give our hearts, our minds, our voices to the blessedness, to the honor of He who we know to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's talk about Jesus. Father, help us then as we close out this year in a matter of days and open the new year. Help us then to be purposeful in our thinking, purposeful in our meditation, purposeful in our speech and communication, honoring the superiority and the supremacy of Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.